This morning I'm talking about failure. I did wonder whether I should ask everyone in the room who thinks they're a failure to put up their hand. If we were honest, I guess every single person would have their hand up. We all set out with ambitions, dreams, ideas of what we're going to achieve. And we all fail. All of us have been losers somewhere along the line. I can remember the first time I realized I was a failure. I was probably about 4 years old. And I was with my big sister, who was 2 years older than I was. And my dad said to us, go on, let's have a race. Let's see which of you can get to that tree first. And my sister shot off. And I was left standing, realizing that compared with big sister, I was useless. 4 years old and doomed to failure. Some of you failed your 11 plus. Some of you failed to get into the football team. We all remember the awful way that they pick sides, don't we? Two captains and 21 lads who want to play. The captains toss for the first pick. And of course, blue captain picks the fastest, fittest lad who's there. And the red captain picks the next. And so it goes on until the two captains between them have picked 20 lads. And there's just this one little fat boy standing there wishing he'd never been born. He's the one that nobody wants. And maybe that was you. Some of you remember failing in interviews. You remember that awful feeling when the chairman said, well, we'll let you know. Next, please. Some of us look back on failed relationships, broken engagements, failed marriages. We've all experienced failure. And most of us cope with it. We come to terms with the fact that we're not going to win every time, that we're not going to be good at everything, that life isn't going to go smoothly all the time. And we learn to shrug our shoulders and to say, well, maybe it'll work out better next time. But for some of us, we can't shrug it off that easily. There are people who are simply crushed by failure, because they look back on their life and it feels as if everything they've ever tried to do has been a failure. Perhaps they had an unhappy childhood. They wanted so much for their dad to love them. And they tried so hard to please dad. But they never felt he did. And they felt rejected. They tried to make friends in school, but their friendships never really lasted. They struggled at school and they failed their exams. They desperately wanted to find a boyfriend or girlfriend they could trust when they were in their teens, but it never seemed to last more than a few months. They never got a decent job, or if they did, they were always made redundant after a few weeks. They were always planning to lose weight. Whatever diet they went on, they always seemed to put the weight back on again and more besides the moment they'd come off the diet. Some people are always struggling financially. They never quite get out of debt. Or they look back on failed marriages, or they see their children getting into more and more trouble and they feel that it's their fault. They failed. I've met people who simply look back on their whole life and say, I've made a mess of everything. I just feel such a failure. And that feeling of failure affects everything. Maybe they become bitter and jealous of other people who seem to have made a success of everything. Maybe they become more and more hopeless. They feel they can't be bothered to go on trying, since everything they do is going to fail anyway. Maybe they just feel inferior and they go around looking like a dog who's just waiting for the next kick. Maybe they sink into deep depression. Well, it's people who feel like that that I want to talk to this morning. And really, I want to say five things. Or rather, I want to show you five things which God says in the Bible. The Bible is God's book. It's God's message. And we're looking at what God has to say about failure. The first thing to say is this. Not all failures matter. There are lots of situations where we fail and we think it matters terribly, and perhaps other people act as if it's terribly important, but in the end it doesn't really matter all that much. All right, at 4 years old, I thought it mattered terribly whether I could run as fast as my sister. But I'll be honest, it hasn't blighted my life. It didn't really matter all that much, did it? At 11, it mattered to me what position I came in our class. But now I can't even remember what position I came. At 15, you thought you'd die if you weren't asked out by so-and-so. But now you wonder what you ever saw in him. There are lots and lots of things which just seem huge at the time. But as your life goes by, you think, did it really matter that much? Now the Bible, God's book, says a lot about the things which people think are important. And the Bible asks the question, how important are they really? In the long run. You see, God in the Bible reminds us of something that most people prefer to forget. It's this. We're all going to die. We've only got so long to live. And it's only when you remember that, that you can really understand what is important and what's not. When you come to die, when you know you're dying, will it really matter to you that you failed to get that particular job that you wanted? Will it really matter then that you failed to get into university? Will it really matter that you were never able to buy a new car? Will it really matter that you never managed to make yourself look as pretty as your sister? Now these things may seem hugely important. And you feel that you're a failure because of these things. But how important will they seem then? You know, there's one book in the Bible that's all about success and failure. It's called the Book of Ecclesiastes, and it was written nearly 3,000 years ago by a great king. And this man had success in nearly everything he did. He was simply good at everything. Fantastic, wise ruler. The most clever man in his country. Great artist, great scientist. Built great buildings, enormously wealthy. And when he looked back on it all, this is what he said. He said, it's meaningless. All of it, it's meaningless. He said this. He said, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my achievements. Yet when I surveyed all my hands had done, and what I toiled to achieve, it was all meaningless. It was a chasing after the wind. There's a man who had all the success in the world. But he looks back and he says, it doesn't really count for anything in the end. And what makes him say that? Well, it's the realization that he's going to die just like anybody else. All right, he was cleverer than some other people. He knew more than anybody else in the country, but so what? He says, wise people and foolish people, the same fate overtakes them both. And the fate of the fool will overtake me also. Or he talks about money. Some people manage to get good jobs and they amass wealth. And everyone says that they're the successful people. While other people just scrape a living. And they get labelled as failures. But what does this wise king say? He says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves money is never satisfied with his income. The more money you have, the more you feel you need. And the more you want. You're still not satisfied. And then he said, naked a man comes from his mother's womb. And as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labour. So what does he gain? There are no rich men in the grave. Imagine two men lying next to one another in hospital. And they're both dying. One's had success in life. He's dying with £20 million in the bank. And the other has never been able to do more than scrape a living. And he's dying without a penny. Is one of them any better off than the other? Maybe you've labelled yourself a failure. Because you did badly at school. Or because you never managed to buy your own home. Or because you've never managed to get your kids all the things that the adverts say they should have. Or for that matter, because you've always had bad teeth and a spotty face. Maybe other people label you a failure for all those reasons. Maybe the whole of society sends out the message that because of those things you're inferior in some way. You're a failure. But God says to you in his book, look, those aren't the things that matter. The people who do have success in all those ways, it doesn't mean a thing in the long run. Because those things aren't going to last. And the people who do get those things have only got them for a little while. And when they come to die, the fact that they've had those things won't help them one scrap. Whether you've got those things or not, that's not what makes you a success or a failure. Not all failures matter. That was the first point. The second thing to say is this. Not all failures are your fault. The Bible's very definite about that. We're living in an unfair world. And often people get success, though they don't deserve it. And often people fail at things, and it's not their fault. Sometimes the best team doesn't win. And sometimes the person who gets the plum job isn't the one who ought to have it. This is from the same book of the Bible. This is from Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 11. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favour to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. When you look at people's lives, so much just seems to come down to chance. The top athlete who's been working for 4 years to prepare herself for the race and who's certain to get the gold. She gets a cold on the morning of the race, and she struggles to come in fourth place. It's not fair. It's not fair that she fails. It's not her fault. But the race isn't to the swift, says the Bible. A child who's really quite stupid and lazy happens to get a really good teacher in school who gets him through his exams. And another child who's really bright and hard working gets an awful teacher and never gets anywhere. It's not fair. But that is life here in this world, and the Bible says so. You can be a wonderful husband, and yet your wife runs off and leaves you. You can be a marvelous mother and still have rebellious children. You can be a careful driver who never takes chances but still be left crippled and by an accident caused by a drunken teenager. The Bible's very clear. You can have success in life, but it doesn't mean you've deserved it. And you can be labelled as a failure without it being your fault. Yes, of course, I know there are many things that go wrong in our lives that are our fault, and the Bible says that too. But the Bible is clear. Lots of things can go wrong in your life for which you're not responsible. Not all failures are your fault. The third thing I want to say is this. There is one failure that really does matter. And it's the only one that matters in the end. And it's this. If you live your life without God, and if you die without God, then your life is a total failure. It's a total waste. It's a total tragedy. You could be very successful in every other way, or things could go wrong for you in lots of ways. But this is the only thing that will really count in the end, whether you knew God. God made you. And God made you for himself. God made you in such a way that you need him. You need to know God. You need God's friendship. You need God's love. You need to have God ruling you and protecting you and guiding you and being with you every step of the way. If you've got God as your God, then you've got the only thing that really matters. Now, maybe some of you just don't have the faintest idea what I'm talking about. You can't imagine what I'm talking about. But I'm telling you, though he's invisible, though you can't see him with your eyes or hear him with your ears, it is possible to know God. It's possible to know that he's there, to talk to him and know that he's listening. To know that he personally is speaking to you. That he's teaching you and guiding you and communicating with you through the words he's given us in the Bible. It's possible to be certain that God loves you. It's possible to experience the love of God every day. It is possible to enjoy God. To enjoy obeying him and trusting him and having your life in his hands. That's what we were made for. That's what life is supposed to be. And if you have that relationship with God, then it will go on forever. It will grow better and richer as the years go by. And when the time comes for you to die, God will be there with you and for you. And on the other side of death, you will carry on enjoying God forever. You will have God's love forever in a world where there's no more trouble and no more unfairness and no fear and no failure and no death. God will be your father and your friend forever, and you'll be totally satisfied, because that's what you were made for. To live with God as your master and your father and your friend. Now, I don't care what success a person may have had in life, how many friends, how much money, how happy their family life was. If they never know God, then their whole life is a failure. Their whole life is a waste and a tragedy. And the tragedy will go on forever. Because if they die without God, they will exist forever without God. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. After you die, God is going to judge you. And this is what God will say. You didn't want to have me as your God then. Well, you shan't have me as your God now. And God will drive these people away from himself into a place of darkness and loneliness and hopeless misery and pain. The Bible calls it hell, and that's where they'll be forever. Now that is real failure. That is real tragedy. To live your life without God, and to die without ever knowing God, and then to be driven away from God into the darkness and misery of hell forever. The Lord Jesus put it like this: what has a man gained if he wins the whole world and loses his own soul? Do you remember earlier in this service, I read you a story that Jesus told? He told the story of two men. One was a rich man. A man whose whole life was a success story. He had everything that people wanted. He had the big home. And he had the designer clothes. Jesus said he dressed in purple and fine linen. And he lived in luxury every day. The only thing he didn't have, he didn't know God. He lived his life without God. And he died without God. And Jesus said he went to hell. And he was in torment. He was in agony. And then Jesus said there was also a poor man. A man who was a total failure by this world's standards. He was a beggar. He couldn't even get a job. And he was ill. He just lay at the gate covered in sores, longing to eat the leftovers from the rich man's meals. And the dogs came and licked his sores. They were his only friends. But this man, in his failure and his unhappiness, knew God. And when this man died, Jesus says the angels of God carried him into the presence of God to join the people of God in that world of perfect joy that goes on forever. Now imagine you can see these two men as they're dying. One is a total failure by the world standards. He can look back on years of illness and pain and poverty. But all through those years he had God's friendship and God's love. And he knows that as he dies, God is still with him. And he knows that when he dies, he's going to be with God forever. And he's going to experience God's love in a bigger, richer way than ever before. That's one of these men. But there's the other one as well. And he can look back on success after success. He can remember a thousand wonderful banquets that he's eaten. And he can think about all the designer clothes he's got in his wardrobe. But he's lived without God. And he's dying without God. And none of his friends who used to say such nice things about him during his life can help him now. And he's frightened. And he's going to die. And Jesus says he's going to hell forever. You're looking at those two men and you know their stories. Now tell me, which of those men is the failure? And which is the success? Which would you rather be? What really matters in the end of the day? To live without God and to die without God, that is the only failure that will really matter in the long run. Then the fourth point. It's this. If you fail in that way, it will be your fault and no one else's. I said before, there are lots of failures for which you aren't to blame. But if you fail to know God, if you spend your life without God, and if you die without God, it will be completely your own fault. You see, there is only one thing that can stop you from knowing God. This is what the Bible says. Your sins have separated you from your God. The reason there is no friendship between you and God is because you've disobeyed him. You've broken his laws. And you know it. I'm not even going to go through the Ten Commandments this morning. I don't need to. Because you know you've done things which are wrong. Things which are against God's laws. You've not made it your business to please him and to obey him. And that's why there's no relationship between you and God. How can you expect to know God's love when you do all the things that hurt him and make him angry? The Bible says your sins have separated you from your God. If you're living without God, and if you die without God, and if you go to hell without God, you will have no one to blame but yourself. It will be the result of your sins. But now I've got a fifth point. And it's this, and I'm so glad I can say it. Here in this world, it is never too late for that failure to be put right. Yes, there's a barrier between you and God. It can be taken away. You've lived without God so far. Well, you don't need to live without him any longer. There are all those sins that have come between you and God. Well, they can be wiped away and you can start all over again. And God wants that to happen. God wants sinful men and women and children, failures like you and me. God wants us to come back to him and to be forgiven and to know him. And God has paid an unbelievably high price to make it possible. Do you know what God has done? God had one son, his everlasting son. We were created. There was a time when we didn't exist. But God's son was always there with him in heaven. And God loved his son with all his heart. But 2,000 years ago, God sent his own dearly loved son into the world. And he became a human being. He became one of us. His name was Jesus Christ. And this was what God planned. He planned that when Jesus was 30 odd years old, he would be arrested, and he'd be tortured, and he'd be nailed to a cross, and he'd die there in agony. And while Jesus was hanging there on the cross, God his Father poured out on him the punishment that we deserve for our sins. All the sins I've ever done against God, as it were, they were blamed on him, and God punished him for all my sins. And what that means is that whatever my life has been up till now, I can come back to God. And God can forgive me completely, because all my sins have already been punished. Jesus has taken the punishment. God can take away the barrier, and God can accept me, and God can love me totally, and God can be my Father and my friend forever, and God will be there for me through my life, and he'll be there for me when I die, and he'll be there for me forever. And that isn't just true for me. It can be true for you too. Because Jesus wasn't just punished for me. He was punished in the place of everyone who really wants to come back to God. He was punished in the place of everyone who wants to be forgiven, who wants to start again. So if you want to know God, if you want God to forgive you, if you want to live your life with God as your master and your Lord, then the way's open. You can come back to God, and you can come back today, because Jesus has paid the whole price. God wants you to come back. God invites you to come back. You'll find that everywhere you look in the Bible. Just going to quote two verses. Here's one. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. Let him turn to our God, for he will freely pardon. That's Isaiah 55 verse 7. And that's God's invitation. And how do you come back to God? Well, that's the second verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can come back to God through the Lord Jesus. Whatever your life has been up to this moment, it isn't too late. What is the answer to failure? Well, if you're looking for an answer, some sort of recipe that will guarantee you financial success, or success in your marriage, or success in bringing up your children, if those are the failures you're bothered about, I've not got one. But in the end, those aren't the things that matter most. The only failure that really matters is to miss out on knowing God. And there's only one answer to that failure. Jesus Christ is the answer.